not outside of the Coal Creek, right? Anyway, we're going to do it at Barbara and Jack's home. And then starting with Agape Feast, so bring your food and to share. And you don't have a food to share, just come in. There'll be enough food. Are you going to be in town?
Next week?
Yeah.
I think, but every week?
You never know.
Several months. Well, I have 2 dozen trips and then surgery. So.
Okay. All right. And if you go to the website by this Saturday or sometime next week, if you go to the website, you will see the direction and you will see the map.
Are you changing the Sunday bulletin too?
Yes, it will be changed. Turn your Bible with me to Joshua chapter 21. We will do the 21 and 22. And next time we will do 23rd chapter and 24th and finish it. What's the next book we are going to study? Second Thessalonians. Leo, would you like to squeeze in one of those desks? So you don't feel like you're all left out by yourself? Tonight's study is a misunderstanding from the being out of God's will. Being misunderstood is a difficult thing to handle, especially when we had all the good intention. People would accuse us for something we have not done or no intention to do so. However, being misunderstood because we were out of God's will is pretty much our own fault. And when we find out that we are out of God's will with a good intention or not, the best thing we need to do is get back into the God's will, His will, at any cost, at all cost. It's not good for us to be out of God's will. It's like a fish being out of water. So we need to be in God's will. And when we are out of God's will, it's no wonder why we can be accused or misunderstood. And some people, even though they are misunderstood and they have this kind of thing black and white in front of their face, they choose to stay in that option because that's their choice. They'd rather stick with their own choice than God's choice. Tonight, we are going to witness the dismissal of the Israeli army that they've been fighting against the Canaanites for the last 7 years. Finally, the rest came upon the land, and they can go back to their own territories and claim their territories. We are going to find three tribes, Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, going back to the east side of Jordan River. And they're going back there, but only problem is they're going to be misunderstood by the rest of the tribe, almost facing the consequences of war against their own brethren. So we will stop there and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, your word is so practical. Your word is so good that we can use it day to day. How many of us are being misunderstood, or how many of us have misunderstood other people? I'm sure it will occur again and again in the future. We're asking you, give us the insight, give us wisdom to handle this kind of situation. And more than anything else, we want to please you, we want to obey you because we love you. Because you love the reason why we can love you is because you loved us first. So speak to our heart. Give us that practical wisdom that we can use in our lives through your word. Guide us, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do the quick summary of chapter 21. You can read it later, and it's pretty much the allocation of the tribe of Levi's, their territories. As we noted before, the tribe of Levi's are not allocated with their own territories. So they're dispersed throughout the whole country. Joshua and Moses set up the 48 cities, Levitical cities, around the country. And six of the city of refugees, they are included, they are part of this 48 Levitical cities. Each tribe contributed four cities per tribes, exception of Simeon and Judah, they contributed nine, and Naphtali contributed three. So total 48. Since the common people don't have a scripture or the law, or they don't know how to read nor write, so this Levite had to be dispersed all over the country to help them. It's like their Levites are like pastors, a priest, and they can explain the law, explain to the people how to apply the law to their daily lives. So it was important for them to be nearby the people. We will pick up the verse 43 and of chapter 21. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to his fathers, their fathers, and they took the possession of it and dwelt in it. Verse 44, the Lord gave them rest, note the word rest, all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word, note the word, not a word failed out of any good things which the Lord has spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Note that verse 45 is something we need to note, because anything God promised come to reality. God kept his promise to the Israeli people. At the end of his life, Joshua, he would remind the people in next chapter, chapter 23. And Solomon, again, he reminded people of Israel when he dedicated the temple, the Solomon temple, to the Lord in 1 Kings chapter 8. As a people of God, we can also claim this promise. See, God's covenant is with us, is not going to fail. God's power and wisdom is with us, and it's not going to go away, because his word, his promise, will not fail us. Covenant of God and power of God and the promise of God, these are the spiritual resources that we can depend on, we can claim as an inheritance in Jesus Christ. The promise of God not just apply only to the old Israeli people. It applies to us as the children of God. We have a closer relationship with God than the Israeli people had. As a matter of fact, when you go to Israel, you will hear the people actually saying, the Jewish people said, I wish we had that personal relationship. But yet they are holding on to that, their own style. The covenant of God and the power of God and the promise of God is our spiritual resource to cling to. So let's keep your finger in chapter 22 of Joshua. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. You know, word promise God makes is extremely important to him. This is what he said. Verse 35 in chapter 24 in Matthew. And also you want to put that in your heart. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. Bless you. It's not just the word he promised in this in the Bible. Also, the entire book, the Bible, the God's voice, will not pass away. Let's go back to the chapter 22. Now we are studying at the verse 1. Verse 1, and then Joshua's called the Reubenite and Gadite and half tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, you have kept all the Moses all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days up to this day, but have kept the charges of the commandment of the Lord our God. And now the Lord your God has given rest, underline the rest, to your brethren, as you promised them. Now, therefore, they will return and go to your tent and to the land of your possession, which the Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. Number one, put number one there. But take careful heed to do commandment and the law which the Moses, the servant of the Lord, commands you. Number two, to love the Lord your God. Number three, to walk in all his ways. Number four, to keep his commandment. Number five, to hold fast to him. And number six, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's very important. Yes, we can start to love God, but how can we love God unless we take heed of what he says? So number one is take a careful heed of commandment and the law that God is in this to us. This is the law. This is the word of God. Continuing in the verse 6. So Joshua blessed them and then sent them away, and they went to their tents. Now to half tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given the possession in Bashan to the other half of it, and Joshua gave the possession among his brethren on the other side of Jordan westward. And indeed, when Joshua sent them away to their tent, he blessed them and spoke to them, saying, "Return with much riches to your tent, with very much livestock and silver, with gold, with bronze, and with iron, and with very much clothing. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren." Soldiers from the tribe of Reuben and Gad and half-tribe of Manasseh must have been especially excited about going back home after 7 years of war campaign. It's been a long time. And they stayed in the land of Canaan. And this is a victorious time. They were all rejoicing. This, for this people, is an especially exciting time because they can go back to their families. This tribe has been loyal to the Moses and loyal to the Joshua and loyal to the brethren of the rest of tribes. They did it best, and they kept the promise. Keep your finger there, and let's go to Colossians chapter 3, please. This kind of give us a good model. Whatever we do, we have to do everything right, ultimately for the glory of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, please. Colossians 3, 23. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to man. Note the word. Emphasis is on the to the Lord, not to man. So when you go to work, do it to the Lord. When you do something for other person, do it to the Lord, not to man. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So if we work as the Lord intended, we should be the best employees they can find. The concept of rest, going back to the chapter 22, I asked you on the line, it's more than the end of the war. It's resting in this, going into the security of God's presence. It's a resting place that God promised. God promised them that the people will rest, and he kept his promise. See, when we trust, when we trust Christ as a Savior, we enter into his rest. Because we're no longer at war with God. Remember at the Genesis, when Adam and Eve were disobedient to God, and their soul, their spirit literally died. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus in chapter 3 of book of John, verse 3, unless you are what? Born again. What? Born again of what? The spirit. Their spirit. Hello?
Time to get up.
Yeah, time to get up. Barbara. It must be Barbara. Wake up, Barbara. Anyway. Say, everybody say hi to that person. You don't answer the phone in the middle of service, dear. Anyway, where was I? I forgot. Yeah. Our dead spirit had revived. Meanwhile, until our spirit is come alive, we are literally enemy of God. We are at war against God. In reality, we are no different than an animal. Without the Holy Spirit in our heart, we are no different than an animal. And it is no wonder why the non-believers act like an animal, and what can we say? Because they're doing what they're supposed to do, right? So, by faith, we enter into deeper rest and enjoy the spiritual riches in Christ. Can you imagine these people going back to their home with all the spoils they got, and they're going back home, they're meeting their own family members? Put that thing into our picture. Someday, unless the Lord tarries, we will all die one way or another. And I know some of you think that you'll never die, especially teenagers, young people, they think that they're invincible. But all of us will die. And the believers of Jesus Christ, we can enter into his presence with all the riches that are waiting for us. It's not because we have done anything good, because he has done everything for us. We have riches in Christ Jesus. We can rest in there. Like any good leader, Joshua was more concerned about the spiritual walk of his people than anything else. The army experienced the victory in the Canaan because Joshua loved the Lord and obeyed the Lord and his word. That would be the open secret. It was a plain open secret. Simply follow God, love God, honor God, then Israel would have a continuous peace and prosperity. That applies to us, folks. As long as we obey God, we honor God, love God, follow Him, I'm not promising the prosperity in the same meaning of financial prosperity, but prosperity in our heart. Full of riches in our heart that nobody can buy or take it away. The motive of our... Before we go there, I have to remind you. Jesus said, do not store your treasure where the moth and the thief can steal. Remember what he said? But store your treasure in heaven. How can we store our treasure in heaven? By simply love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That two commands sums up everything in here. The motive for our obedience has to be love for our Lord God. If we love Him, we would delight in walking in all His ways and obeying all His commandment. Jesus said it's the first and greatest commandment. What I just said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. In the same coin, the other side, if that is the most important thing, when we don't do that, guess what happened? That would be the greatest sin. That would be the greatest disobedience against God. When we don't love the Lord, our God, with all our heart and mind and soul. Am I making sense to you guys? So if that's the commandment, when we don't do that, we are going against God directly. Verse 9. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
On the prosperity.
Yes.
Isn't that both? It's both spiritual and fleshly prosperity.
It can be. Not all the time.
I know in the Psalms it's written that David wrote that he had never seen a godly man go without.
Prosperity does not necessarily mean that rolling on the money.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, just
yeah, it can be both. And grant that some of the prosperity gospel teachers, those in the faith movement, they take them out of context. Yes, yeah, exactly. And at the same time, there is I believe it's Psalm, and do not give me the riches or no poverty. So if I have too much riches, ask God, who is the Lord? And if I'm too poor, I might steal the bread from somebody and disgrace the name of my God. So God knows how much we can handle. As I said before, many of us can handle adversity, but very few of us can handle prosperity. Because it takes us away from the focusing the God. Verse 9. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad, the half tribe of Manasseh, returned and departed from the children of Israel in Shiloh, which is the land of Canaan, to go to the country of Gilead and to the land of their possession, which they had obtained according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And when they came to the region of Jordan, which is the land of Canaan, and children of Reuben and children of Gad and half tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, a great impressive altar. Before this two and a half tribe crossed over the Jordan River, they thought they've been in with this rest of tribes for 7 years, over 7 years. By crossing that river, it feels like they're going to be isolated from these people. So they said, why don't we make a monument here and an altar that those people will remember that we are part of this group. When we read in Numbers 32, you might want to jot it down, Numbers 32, when the tribe of Reuben and half tribe of Manasseh and the Gad came to Moses and they asked him, they begged, and that they like to stay on the other side. Do you know what Moses didn't do? He never went to the Lord in prayer. He just said, well, if that's the case, okay, let's make a covenant. You go with us until we finish the war. Then you can go back. He never went to God and taking care of it. The first thing he should have said, okay, hush your big boys, and then I'm going to go see God, and I'm going to bring the answer from him. You know what would God would say that to them? No, out of your mind, boys. Because that is, east side of Jordan River is out of God's will. Supposedly God put the buffer zone that as a river from the Assyrian army. But they chose to stay on the other side of the eastern world because what's the reason? Remember what I said? Because of that's the place was great for the raising the cattle. In other words, it's good for our finance. It's good for our checkbook, bank account. So I'd rather be in the other side. By choosing to stay there, before I go there, that reminds me something. Another person who cast longing eyes toward the east of the valley. Lot, exactly. He looked toward the Sodom when the Abram said, choose any direction. You go one direction, I'll go opposite direction. You have a first choice. And he turned around and cast longing eyes to the green pasture around Sodom and Gomorrah. What was he thinking? Kaching, 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 kaching. He was thinking dollar sign. I guess a shekel sign. Thank you. Sorry. He was thinking of a shekel sign and went down to the valley of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was pitching his tent outside of the Sodom and Gomorrah prison. He moved close to it and now he was inside. He became a ruler because he was sitting at the gate when the two strangers came, those who are the angels. Same thing. These people were concerned about their checkbook, their banking account, more than being in the God's will. That's the first thing. The second thing that they're doing wrong is they shouldn't have built an altar. I'm going to explain to you a little more. By choosing to stay in the eastern region, they became a distance away from the tabernacle, but close to their enemies. This is what I called borderline believers, folks. Two and a half tribes portray the believers who experience the blessing and the battle of Canaan, which is the inheritance of Christ, in Christ, but prefer to live on the border, half in, half out, outside of God's appointed place of blessing. Why did they decide to solve a problem with themselves by how they try to solve this problem they created? They tried, as I said before, they are putting this big, gigantic altar, impressive altar. And somehow, this is a reminder. It's not a reminder for them, but it's a reminder for the tribes that are living on the west side of Jordan River. Hey, we are one of you guys, remember? We are together. It's a kind of unfortunate that when the believers have to resort to artificial means to let the people know they are God's people. What am I talking about? Artificial means. Bumper sticker, big buckles, the Jesus lives, or t-shirts. You know what though? Nothing wrong with those things. Why now we have the conduct and our word to be spirit-led so that even the lost, those non-believers, can sit up and pay attention to us. Let our action, let our word be in such a way to evangelize people. I'm sure you heard what I said before. Saint Augustine of Assisi said this, preach the gospel. If you have to use the word. If you have to use the word. In other words, use your action, use your word, use your conduct. Why not wholeheartedly submerge ourselves in His presence instead of half in, half out? That's why there's a lot of people, non-believers, say, I won't go to church because there are too many hypocrites. Because they've seen enough garbage. Guess whose fault that is? Us. Ours. Continue in verse 11. Now children of Israel heard someone say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, and great impressive an altar. Now the children of Israel heard someone say, behold, the children of Reuben, children of Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh have built an altar on the frontier of the land of Canaan in the region of Jordan, on the children of Israel's side. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go to war against them. Note that word, please. Then the children of Israel sent Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest of the children of Reuben, to the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead, and with him the 10 rulers, one ruler, each from the chief house of every tribe of Israel. And each one was the head of the house of his father among the division of Israel. Then they came to the children of Reuben, to the children of the Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, to the land of Gilead, and they spoke with them, saying, thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, what treachery is this that you have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord? And in that you have built for yourself an altar that you might, note the word, you have built for yourself. They misunderstood, and we'll find out more. Where was I? That you might rebel this day against the Lord. Is the iniquity of apparel not enough for us, and from the which we are not cleansed till this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord, but that you must turn away this day from the following the Lord, and it shall be if you rebel today against the Lord that tomorrow he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel. Nevertheless, if the land of your possession, underline please, verse 19, please, if the land of your possession is unclean, then cross over to the land of possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and take a possession among us. Do not rebel against the Lord, and nor the rebel against us, by building yourself an altar beside the altar of the Lord your God. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, command the trespasses in the accursed thing? And the rest fell on the whole, all the congregation of Israel, and that man did not perish alone in his iniquity. Then the children of Israel, children of Reuben, children of the Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh answered and said to the heads of the division of Israel, "The Lord God of gods and the Lord God of gods, He knows that let the Israel itself know if it is a rebellion or if the treachery against the Lord do not save us today. If we have built ourselves an altar to turn from the following the Lord, or if to offer on a burnt offering or grain offering, or if the offered peace offering on it, let the Lord himself require account. But in fact, we have done it for fear, for a reason saying, in time to come, your descendant may speak to our descendant, saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between you and us, and your children and Reuben and children of Gad, and you have no part in the Lord. So your descendant would make our descendant cease fearing the Lord, and therefore we said, let us now prepare to build ourselves an altar, not for a burnt offering nor a sacrifice, but that it may be witness between you and us and our congregation after us, that we may perform the service of the Lord before Him with our burnt offering, with our sacrifice, with our peace offering, that your descendant may not say to our descendants in times to come, you have no part in the Lord. Therefore, we said that it will be when they say this to us or to our generation in times to come, that we may say, here is a replica of the altar of the Lord which our father made, though not for the burnt offering nor for sacrifice, but it is a witness between you and us. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn from the following the Lord this day to build an altar for a burnt offering, for grain offering, for sacrifice, beside an altar of the Lord our God, which is before His tabernacle." You know, come to think of it, it sounds very nice, don't you think? It sounds logical, and what they did is a reminder for the other tribes' descendants, and when they, in the future, they might accuse them, they are no longer with them. Did you notice how it goes? We are fine, but your kids will cause a problem. Who is already out of God's will? These 2.5 tribes. They are the one who is accusing the one who is in the God's will. That's a common. Their readiness to this Israeli people, readiness to fight against their own people is a great courage and confront them with the love, in my opinion, for the God's truth and holiness. And this is kind of healthy body. You know, out of the entire Old Testament, it was rare for the Israeli people to do right things. Isn't that true? Most of the time they went against the Lord, they went against the... See, when we read the First and Second Chronicles, all we see, and then First and Second King too, pretty much all we see is that they disobeyed the Lord and they departed from the Lord. Yeah, they did, of course, Judges, they did everything in their, whatever pleased their own eyes. But this is the one time the congregation of Israel were willing to purge the poison out of themselves, willing to fight against their own brethren, for the glory of God. Before they jump into the war, they ask the situation. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18, please. They wanted to investigate before they get into war. So there's a great verse for us to remember. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13, please. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is a folly and a shame to him. I'm sure you had a conversation with some of the people. While you're explaining, those people forming, you can just see that their mouth is moving, try to say something to you. In other words, they are not listening. They are so much into their own next sentence to speak to you, they are not listening. We should not do that kind of thing. We should listen and evaluate before we act upon it. God instructed Judah to destroy an altar in the Canaanites, and also same time he told them not to build an altar. Guess what these people did? Excuse me. They built an altar, whether it's for the burnt offering or peace offering or nothing. They built an altar. As I asked you on the line in verse 19, this is a great. These people, the Israeli children of Israel, are willing to take this 2.5 tribe back to their land. That means this invitation is at a great cost. It would have mean that a much smaller area of the land for Western tribes, but that didn't matter for them because they were willing to sacrifice to see their brother free from their sin. Too many of us lack this willingness. We tell other people to stop sinning, but we are not willing to help them if it costs us something. Note the last sentence, please. If it costs us something, then we are not willing to help them out. Let's make a quick example. Let's say there is somebody who lives near the bar. And we tell him, since he is alcoholic, we tell him, don't go to a bar. Come to church. But we are not willing to help. Come pick him up. How is he going to come to the church when he doesn't have a vehicle? How many marriages, how many friendships, how many family relationships came to the screeching halt because of misunderstanding? To prevent any problem in the misunderstanding, we need to do everything according to God's way. If we are the one who misunderstood someone before we accuse that person of wrongdoing, we must ask that person in love about his or her true intention and motive, and do a complete fact-finding. Remember what we just read in from the proverb? Don't say the things before we hear. Do the fact-finding. We also must have a willingness to quick to forgive and slow to anger. If you're one of those people who are just flying off the handle, please, that's not a good thing for a Christian. Well, as a children of God, we need to be slow to anger and quick to forgive. That's the attribute of God. So we need to imitate that attribute of God. Does it mean we cannot get angry? What does the Bible say? Be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down with your anger, right? When we are misunderstood, we should put ourselves in the shoes of the other person and try to see what they see. If we saw what they saw, we might respond in the same way. So, in other words, whether we are the one who is being misunderstood or we are the one who is misunderstanding somebody else, we try to put ourselves in the other person's shoes. How would I respond? Just because we have to apologize for our wrongdoing, even though it was a good intention, that doesn't make us to be a dumb or lesser person. As a matter of fact, the one who is willing to apologize even though it was a good intention and wrongdoing, it takes more godly man, a godly woman to apologize. Let's not give any opportunity to Satan to come between the brothers and sisters because of misunderstanding. Remember, what is the most important thing in misunderstanding? Go find out. If there's a sin in the body of the other person, the first thing is, let's go out and pray intelligently so I spread the news to everybody by email and voicemail and all of that, right? Wrong. Let's not be a gossip monger, but rather we go to that person directly as one person. If that person still do not repent, then what do we do? Take another person with you. That person still do not repent. Take more people with you. And they still don't do it, and then walk away. Somewhere near this witness altar, the great impressive altar, on the south side, remember the picture? I didn't bring the picture. They move up to the northern side of the northeast corner of the Jordan River. On the south and near the Jericho, across Jericho, there's the Jordan River. As the Israelites crossed the river, what did they do? They brought the big gigantic rocks from the middle of the riverbed, and they brought 12 of them, and they piled up and made an altar there. Remember? When they came to the west side of Jordan River, out of the past, out of God's will, into the promised land. You with me? But this tribe of Reuben, tribe of Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh is going backward, back to their past, back to the out of God's will. There is a monument for the altar, altar for God, and this one is the altar of man, getting out of God's will. Let's continue in verse 30. Now, when the Phinehas, the priest, and the ruler of the congregation, and the head of the division of Israel, who were with him, the head heard the words that children of Reuben and children of Gad, children of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them. Okay? What else is there? It pleased them. Anything else? Do you see anything else? I don't. Exactly. It didn't please God. It does not say they consult with God again here. Verse 31. Then Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said to the children of Reuben, children of Gad, children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us because you have not committed this treachery against the Lord. Now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the ruler, returned to the children of Reuben, and returned from the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan to the children of Israel, and brought back the word to them, so the things pleased the children of Israel, and children of Israel blessed the God. They spoke no more going against them in battle to destroy the land which where the children of Reuben and the Gad dwelt. And children of Reuben and the children of Gad and called the altar witness, for it is the witness between us and the Lord is God, that the Lord is God. Phinehas is pleased and people were pleased, but I don't see that God is pleased. Folks, peace at any cost is not in God's will. In the book of Romans, if it's all possible, make a peace with all men, right? Make it if it's all possible. However, peace at any cost is not of God's will and for His people. Stone may become a witness, but the certainty these people, children of Gad and Reuben and half tribe of Manasseh, were not a witness for God, because they were in the other side of the Jordan River and close to Assyria. They quickly fell into the idolatry, and they were conquered by Assyria. Let's make applications. Number one, God's promise can be trusted no matter what the circumstance may be. Your situation might be dark, but God's promise is good to go. Second application, motive for our obedience has to be love for the Lord our God. If we love Him, we would delight in walking in all His ways and obeying in all His commandments. Third application, when we find out that we are out of God's will, whether good intention or not, best thing we need to do is get back into the will of God. At any cost, all costs, no matter what. If we are out of God's will, just remember that you are a little fish out of water. Will not last long. We should respond to misunderstanding according to these principles. Respond with a concern for God's holiness. Respond with the courage to confront them in love. Respond with the attempt to reconcile before you fight. Determine that you are willing to sacrifice to help them. Don't confront them unless you are willing to help. Note their word, please. If you are going to confront one of your brothers and sisters for the sake of a confrontation, please don't do it. If you are confronting that person because you love them and you are willing to help them out, then do it, please. Determine that you will see the situation from the perspective of other person. Other person. Put yourself in other person's shoes. Determine that you will believe the best of one another. The best of one another. Give them benefit of doubt. Let's stand up and pray. See, that this is the reason why I love the Old Testament. It's not right in front of your face, but the more you dig, richer it becomes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word we receive. I'm sure you have a test for us. And now we reflect our past of being misunderstood or misunderstood someone else. Next time, let us do it right for your glory. Everything for your glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.